struggle with being truly thankful today? Elizabeth Elliot says, "I'm one who is having to learn this lesson of gratitude. It's very easy for me to pick the one thing that's wrong rather than concentrate on the 10 things that were right." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of author and teacher Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about the will of God. I get so many letters from people asking me questions related to this subject, and there are so many things that the Scripture teaches us regarding discovering the will of God, obeying the will of God, the fact that the will of God leads us to joy, that I'm always delighted to have an opportunity to talk about it again. Let me read you excerpts from two of the letters that I've gotten. This one lady has read my biography of Amy Carmichael, entitled A Chance to Die. And as some of you may remember, Amy Carmichael was a missionary to India, and she had an accident when she was 63 years old, which put her out of commission, as it were, made her confined to her room for the rest of her life, which was 20 years. This correspondent says, "She's someone that I have not become familiar with, but because of your show, I'm very interested in reading her devotional. I ordered the book If. I read an excerpt from the book, and it spoke about saying, 'Your sweetness, Lord,' or 'Your patience, Lord.'" Those were prayers that Amy Carmichael used to pray when she needed sweetness or needed patience. And my correspondent asks, "I was wondering why the Lord allowed her this type of disability, since it kept her from what God had sent her to do." Now, there's a deep confusion in a question like that, because God will never allow anything to interfere with his own will, except our wills. Now, we can choose to go our own way, but when we have offered our will to God and have made a total self-offering and surrender to him, then absolutely nothing in heaven or hell or earth between can possibly prevent the will of God from being worked out in us. No disaster, no death, no sickness, no trial, no trouble, no imprisonment, nothing can stand between us and the will of God. He will perfect that which concerns us. He will work it out in his own way. So, although from a human standpoint, it looked as though Amy Carmichael's accident was a terrible interruption to the work which she thought God had called her to do, she was no longer able to be the active mother of that very large family of Indian children. But God had work for her to do as an invalid in her bed. And in fact, she did write more than 20 books in her room, as well as remaining the head of the work for many years. So I would say to this correspondent, I do not know all the reasons why God allowed Amy to have the accident, but I do believe that it did not keep her from doing what God had sent her to do. It's just an illustration that God works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea. Ever seen any footsteps in the sea? Well, God can plant his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. The sea and the storm can be the very vehicles of the will of God. And the circumstances of my life are the visible signs of the invisible reality of the mysterious working out of the will of God. Let me read to you something from D.M. McIntyre's book, The Hidden Life of Prayer. "The man of sorrows translated into active passion the supplication of his agony, 'O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.'" That's from Matthew 26:39. He has transmitted to us his own prayer, and we offer it in the power of his sacrifice. In other words, I can pray the same prayer that Jesus prayed in Gethsemane. Lord, not what I will, but what you will. Not my desire, your desire. And here's a poem that McIntyre gives us as a description of how we can offer our will to God. Lord, here I hold within my trembling hand this will of mine, a thing which seemeth small. And only thou, O Christ, canst understand how, when I yield thee this, I yield mine all. It hath been wet with tears and stained with sighs, clenched in my grasp till beauty it hath none. Now, from thy footstool where it prostrate lies, the prayer ascendeth, let thy will be done. Offer up your will to God. Now here's another letter. I do not understand what God is up to in my life. He is teaching me many things. I constantly feel as though he is preparing me for a specific purpose. However, up until this present time, he has not yet revealed what his will is for me. And I want to say to my correspondent, oh, yes, he has. He has revealed what his will is for all of us. Many times in Scripture, but here's a succinct statement in 1 Thessalonians 4:3. This is the will of God, that you should be holy. This is the will of God, that you should be holy. And in the next chapter, chapter 5, verse 18, another statement. Give thanks whatever happens, for this is what God in Christ wills for you. So it really doesn't make any difference what set of circumstances you find yourself in. You know two things about it. You know that it is in this context that God wants to make you holy, and it is in this context that he's waiting for your thanksgiving. Two things that define the will of God. But that's not all I'm going to say to you. I'll read on in this letter. Somehow in my search, God has brought you across my path, and I can't help but feel you might have some of the insights that I am lacking. When I first wrote you the thing I expressed concern over, it was the subject of widowhood. Even though the thought seems inconceivable to me, the Lord is definitely instructing me in this area. It all seems so puzzling to me and so confusing. My husband and I have traveled down a road that doesn't make any sense. Well, let me say parenthetically that most of us travel down roads that don't make sense to us. But we don't have to understand. She goes on to tell us what that road is. Our second child, a boy, was born prematurely with severe breathing problems. He wasn't, according to the doctors, supposed to live. On the third day after he was born, he was rock bottom, and we were called to come and say our goodbyes. It was at that time in my life God taught me the lesson of allowing God to take control. Now let me stop again. Hasn't this woman answered her own question, at least a part of it? If they had never traveled down this road of believing that they were going to lose their child, would they have learned the lesson of allowing God to take control? I don't know how else we can learn such lessons, except in places where we know that we cannot control things. It's all very well when we think we have control. It's when we know that we cannot possibly control things that most of us are forced to turn to a much higher power, to the rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, said the psalmist. Doing what I wanted and saying, God's will be done, and really meaning it in my heart, was the lesson I was learning. I was only 21 at the time. It was a very difficult struggle between my flesh and God's will. And looking back, it was what I needed at the time. It taught me lessons I couldn't have learned any other way. There she is explaining the question that she's asking to me. God worked a miracle at that time and spared our son. He is about to turn 8 years old in June. Since that time, I have searched for the deeper meaning of anointment. and I have come to learn it is a symbol that means set apart for God's service. She seems to feel, the letter goes on for a number of pages, but I read you the part that says, he has not yet revealed what his will is for me. Does she expect him to reveal the blueprint of her life, the total plan, spread it all out like a map or a blueprint? I don't think God does that very often. All we have to do is follow. As the little song says, the Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All we have to do is follow. And in Romans 5, verses 1 to 4, Paul writes, "Now that we have been justified through faith, let us continue at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have been allowed to enter the sphere of God's grace where we now stand. Let us exult in the hope of the divine splendor that is to be ours. More than this, let us even exult in our present sufferings, because we know that suffering trains us to endure, and endurance brings proof that we have stood the test. And this proof is the ground of hope." I have quite a long list of explanations in Scripture of why we need to suffer. I've read you one of them. It trains us to endure. And endurance brings proof that we have stood the test, and this proof is the ground of hope. So may God give all of you who are perplexed about His will endurance, patience, faithfulness in the test, and hope that God is going to work things out according to His glorious and loving will.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.